Kia ora, my name is Amy Vandeloo, and I am the clinical editor for New Zealand Doctor Rata Aotearoa. Welcome to Educate Long Read. Every fortnight, in print and online, we publish fresh Educate content, providing the latest clinical education for GPs, nurse practitioners, practice nurses, and others working in the primary care sector. Thanks for listening. This episode looks at whole body vibration syndrome and follows on from an earlier episode looking at hand-arm vibration. Occupational health expert David McBride looks at the issue of low back pain associated with occupations that expose people to high levels of whole body vibration.
Can whole body vibration cause intervertebral disc degeneration? I have been involved with two sentinel ACC cases recently, the most significant resulting in a district court judgment for the claimant, a forklift driver. Forklifts, indeed any form of material handling equipment, for example straddle carriers at ports, are prone to rough riding, jolting and jarring, resulting in high levels of whole body vibration, which can also affect workers using tools such as jackhammers. There are several possible sources: a poor driving surface, no or broken seat suspension, and solid rather than pneumatic tyres. In this case, it was a triple whammy. Low back pain is usually a warning that all is not well, with this claimant first experiencing persistent discomfort in the right buttock 10 years ago, coping with it well enough for 8 years, then experiencing more severe pain with sciatic radiation. His x-ray showed intervertebral disc degeneration and osteophyte formation at the L1 and L2 levels, and an MRI subsequently revealed foraminal narrowing at L3, L4, and a central disc bulge at L4, L5. Vibration measurements at his place of work recorded a vibration dose value, used to measure shock vibration, in the Z, vertical, axis of 43 meters per second to the power of 1.75, nearly twice the European Union and WorkSafe exposure limit value of 21 meters per second to the power of 1.75. Quod erat demonstrandum, one would have thought. Not so couth, ACC. It is age-related. A man of age 60 is going to have that sort of degeneration. It's all genetic. Poppycock, I say. We are now learning much more about the mechanism of intervertebral disc degeneration. Shock absorbers of the spine. The elastic nucleus pulposus, surrounded by the annulus fibrosus, is the shock absorber of the spine. Cumulative shock loading causes a cascade of non-reversible inflammation, resulting in degradation of the cellular matrix of the nucleus pulposus and hardening of the annulus fibrosus. Mechanical models have shown how compression, bending, and twisting cause or contribute to the major radiological changes in intervertebral disc degeneration, namely end-plate defects, radial fissures, radial bulging, disc prolapse, and internal collapse of the annulus. Irrelevant, saith ACC. One must then prove Section 30 of the Accident Compensation Act 2001, that the risk of the personal injury is significantly greater for persons who perform the employment task than for persons who do not perform it. Fortunately, the Swedes, like the Finns, understand the value of occupational medicine, assembling a cohort of 288,926 Swedish construction workers and following them up between the 1st of January 1987 and the 31st of December 2010. They linked outcomes through the Swedish Hospital Discharge Register, which we could do, and identified those who had a diagnosis of lumbar disc herniation. Whole body vibration exposure was assessed by an expert panel, and they found a positive dose-response relationship between mean daily whole body vibration exposure and hospitalization due to lumbar disc herniation among men. Women were excluded, as very few had jobs that included high exposure to whole body vibration. In terms of risk, after adjusting for age, height, weight, and smoking habits, the moderate to high exposure group had a relative risk of hospitalization due to lumbar disc herniation of 1.69, 95% confidence interval 1.27 to 2.27. Unfortunately, this does not exceed the relative risk of 2.0, which makes it more likely than not, approximated by the population attributable risk, where relative risk minus 1 over relative risk times 100 is greater than 50%. If one had a different population, say mine workers exposed to whole body vibration, I have no doubt that the risk would be higher. The twin studies. My view, based on the mechanism and the epidemiology, is that high whole body vibration exposure does cause intervertebral disc degeneration. But ACC has relied on the twin studies to deny cover for both whole body vibration and heavy lifting. If you consult Dr. Google, you will find the glad tidings that vibration can improve all kinds of things, such as muscle strength and balance. The levels involved do not, however, jar the spine. Thus to the twin spine studies. With subjects drawn from the Finnish twin cohort, including 147 monozygotic and 153 dizygotic male twin pairs. The original selection was based on discordance of risk factors, namely sedentary or heavy occupational physical demands, routine exercise participation, and occupational driving. Pairs were included only if they had differences in occupational driving of at least 5 years of full-time driving. The authors wrote, "The investigation of 45 pairs of monozygotic twin siblings, highly discordant for occupational driving, is arguably the most well-controlled study of the effects of driving and associated whole-body vibration on human discs to date." Driving, strangely enough, was not associated with differences in intervertebral disc degeneration. A closer look shows that whole-body vibration exposure came from car, truck, and bus driving. There were no exposure estimates. There was not a relative risk in sight. No risk estimate at all. Yet this is one of the studies ACC uses when assessing claims for whole body vibration and intervertebral disc degeneration. All, to my knowledge, declined as ACC no longer publishes routine data. And they do not code to the International Classification of Diseases, so the data is not sufficiently robust. The underlying logic is that most of the variants in the twin back pain studies can be accounted for by genetics. Diseases are caused by genes, or the environment, or mostly by a combination. There are a number of these studies, and it all gets terribly complex. However, the results of a 2008 report gave heritability estimates ranging from 29 to 54%, depending on the particular intervertebral disc degeneration phenotype and lumbar level. This study also illustrated a dependence on the outcomes, which are manifold. In this case, there were moderate genetic influences found for disc signal, height narrowing, and bulging, but no mention of end plate defects, radial fissures, disc prolapse, or internal collapse of the annulus. From therapeutic to harmful. It's not surprising the judicial eyes glaze over because the arguments are complex and contradictory. At one end of the spectrum, vibration is therapeutic, at the other, harmful. The judicially persuasive study concerned athletes competing at the Rio 2016 Olympics, with the authors stressing that asymptomatic and symptomatic intervertebral disc degeneration was more prevalent in athletes, even young athletes. L4 to L5 and L5 to S1 were most affected. With athletic athletes having the most intervertebral disc degeneration, followed by weightlifting and diving, the latter resulting in cervical intervertebral disc degeneration. Good. Now can we please all agree that variation is not the same as causation? A point made twice in the New Zealand Medical Journal by my colleagues who understand their epidemiology. Excessive forces on the spine can and do cause intervertebral disc degeneration. The references relating to this article can be found with the original print article online at newzealanddoctor.co.nz/educate/whole-body-vibration.
You have been listening to Can Whole Body Vibration Cause Intervertebral Disc Degeneration? Written by David McBride, a professor in occupational and environmental medicine at Otago Medical School, Dunedin. This article was first published in the 31st of January issue of New Zealand doctor Rata Aotearoa. This practice article has been endorsed by the RNZ CGP and has been approved for up to 0.25 credits for continuing professional development purposes, or 1 credit per learning hour. Nurses may also find that listening to this article and reflecting on their learning can count as a professional development activity with the Nursing Council of New Zealand. New Zealand doctor Rata Aotearoa is proudly published by the Health Media, providers of news and education to health professionals. To subscribe, go to nzdoctor.co.nz. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was read by Alice McRae.